I just love worshiping like that, and I hope you did too. Amen? Good. Oh, so you were here, and you were into it as well, right? Because, yeah, I was, you know, and George was, right, George? Buddy, good to see you, really good to see you. We were on vacation, and, well, you know that, because we like to, you know, rub it in your face. Stop it with it already, you know, like enough, you know, you've been back a day. You noticed we weren't here. Yeah, but you had great weather. Well, one thing about this place we went, I mean, they have numerous restaurants, but there's also numerous people, and they all have to go to the restaurants. And there's numerous, what they call palapas. These are the beach, kind of, they're big, like, umbrella-looking things that are covered in grass. You know, there's a great middle pole and a grass covering on it, and you can fit about three nice lawn recliners in there. But you have to reserve them the day before to get them. And if you don't call soon enough, your name's not in the book, you know, and you're out of luck. And when you look for your palapa the next day, and I'm like, okay, I had number 8. There it is, number 8, and it says Marchuk, reserved for Marchuk family. Nice. And there I get to, I have totally the right to lay there and enjoy myself. And if somebody else is in that spot, oh, I tell Judy. And it works out. Oh, that wasn't smart of them. And same with when you go to the restaurants. You need to, in fact, you probably should, if you want to get to the certain restaurant you want, the time you want, you really should reserve your reservation like 2 days in advance, in fact. And so, and then when you get to that restaurant, you know, we have a card, it says 6:30, so 6:30 we can go to that restaurant, and we stand in line for our turn, and then we come to the greeter, I suppose, and he says, hola, family Marchuk, and then we say, yes, 6:30, we have a reservation, and he looks in his book, there you are, come, please, with me, and we go and sit, and I, you know, you watch other people, they're in line, we're thinking, boy, there's a lot of people in line, they get up, they go, yeah, about that. We didn't call. Can you sneak us in? No, so sorry. Cannot do that. It's full. Every table is accounted for. Sorry, we cannot help you. And they get turned away, and then they have to walk away, you know, kind of a little bit embarrassed through that same lineup that they've been holding up. And it's like that. And it's like that pretty much all the time you're there. And I'm so glad that they look in the book, and there's my name. It's good. It's good that our name's in there. And one time, they somehow got our name wrong, and it said Stanley. I don't know how that happened, but it was the Stanley family. sometimes it's lost in translation, right? But one thing I do know, that Jesus never gets our name wrong. He never gets our name wrong. And when he writes it in the book, it's in the book. And when he opens the book, there it will be. And there will be no doubt about it. And you know that one that comes whose name was not in the book, cannot come to that day, there will be that day, and say, yeah, about that. I didn't ensure my name is in the book, but can you somehow sneak me in? I'm sorry. And there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. This book of life is a crucial book. As important as the Bible is to us in this world. I mean, and it's the most important book in this world. The book that will be most important come the judgment is that book of life. It will be as simple as, are you in the book or are you not? It's going to be just that cut and dry. And it's something, it's sort of like making reservations. It's so easy for me to have called up and said, listen, I want to have reservations for such and such at that restaurant Tuesday, 6:30. Not a problem. not a problem. But to just show up there is a problem. We cannot go back in time later on. We cannot say, oh, you know, I wished I should have, and I could have, and I meant to. I was going to really make that reservation, but I didn't. And they'll say, I'm sorry, there is no way around it. The Book of Life, referred to as also the Lamb's Book of Life, is referenced 8 times in the New Testament, 7 of those 8 times in the Book of Revelation. 2 of those times it specifically mentions the Lamb's Book of Life. The 7 other 7 of those references, I say, are in Revelation. The other one in Philippians. We'll go there first. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. And this is beautiful. This is Paul talking about some of his fellow workers. Philippians 4, verse 3. While we're finding that scripture, I'm going to just pray. You'll agree with me. Lord, want so much to get it, to understand it, to appreciate and rightly handle your word tonight. We are dealing with a very difficult and controversial topic. Want to get it right. It should be able to happen, especially if you would give us your insight, Holy Spirit. We thank you so much for the preparation and now for the realization of this sermon. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians 4:3. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. I mean, Paul said, I know. These are fellow workers in Christ. There is more than enough reason to believe their names are written in the book of life. And this is the one time we find that phrasing, the book of life, that reference outside of the book of Revelation in the New Testament, okay? Okay, so and here we have Paul identifying this book as a record of the names of those who have eternal salvation. This is a very important idea here. In the same way, Revelation 3:5, if you will turn there, Revelation 3:5. And it'll be easy to find that. It's right at the back. Revelation 3:5. It refers to this book of life, which the names of believers in the Lord are found. He says here, he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now to some, this verse is clear evidence that once a name is written in the book of life, Jesus promises he will never blot it out, proving once and for all the doctrine of eternal security. Now this is a sticking point, and people will use this scripture and say, there you go. Because Jesus says, he that overcomes the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. But I see some challenges here. I'm sorry, and I know this is a difficult doctrine. In fact, I'm looking online. I'm looking for others' opinions and other studies and what other pastors are saying and other sermons and the like. And I'll tell you what, nobody wants to talk about eternal security and it, whether or not it's true or not, or, you know, is there a chance that your name could be and then not be the Lamb's Book of Life. And they use this as the favorite scripture to prove eternal security. Now, he that overcomes. He that overcomes. I think it's more than the one that just overcomes some earthly trials. I think he that overcomes has gone through, has actually arrived at the other side. Now, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Well, how did he overcome the world? I believe that Jesus overcame the world through his death and resurrection. It was at his death. While he was in this world, he had not yet overcome the world. Now, he had certainly stood against temptation. He had preached some powerful truths. He had been an amazing example. But if that's all he had done, he had not overcome the world. If he had just lived that life and then just, you know, retired and moved to Arizona, he did not overcome the world. But it is in the work of the cross, the powerful, supernatural work of the cross, that he overcame the world. He overcame sin and death by his resurrection. This is how I see it. And I would have no problem finding a lot of agreement in that. So I think I'm on safe ground here. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He is saying, you have not yet overcome the world, but be of good cheer, I have. And you're coming with me. Now, in 1 John 5:16, Paul is addressing fellow believers, warning of sin that leads to death. He says here, if anyone sees his brother, now we are talking about the Christian family here. He's not talking about if anyone sees his neighbor. He's saying his brother. It's very clear he's addressing the church. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask and God will give for him life to those who commit sin not leading to death. And then he adds, but there is a sin leading to death. I do not say he should make requests for this. We're talking about brothers and then saying that there is something you can do that would lead to death. And we're not talking about physical death. Every sin can lead to physical death. I mean, you inject your veins, that could lead to death. You drive 300 miles an hour on a 26 of vodka, that could lead to death. You sleep around with prostitutes who have all sorts of issues, and that could lead to death. There's no question. There's a lot of things that could lead to death. But we're talking about a different kind of death here. We're talking about a spiritual death. The death that is separation from God. That's the death we're talking about. John, 1 John 5:4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That kind of works the other way again. You know, whatever born of God, I mean, as soon as you are born of God, overcomes the world. But I see this overcomes the world in the present sense. You are in the process of overcoming the world. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, not has overcome the world. There's an important stressing here that is not a past tense, it is a present and future tense. Like I say, there are throughout the letters in the Revelations again, and we see so much of this overcome again and again through the seven churches, the letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Jesus makes numerous pledges to those who overcome. He who overcomes, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give to him a white stone, and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. Revelation 2:17. He who overcomes and he who keeps my commandments until the end, to him I give authority over all the nations. Revelation 2:26. He who overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. That's Revelation 3:5. We just read that before. Here's another one, Revelation 3:12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my name. Revelation 3:12. And there's one more, for he that overcomes. These are pledges. These are promises that Jesus makes. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Jesus has overcome. Jesus says those who, future tense, will overcome, are overcoming. We are in the process of. We are not there yet. You cannot say, I have run the race until you finish the race. Yeah, we are running the race, but have you run it? Have you crossed the line? Have you crossed the finish line? Have you received your reward? Then you have ran the race. And Paul says, run in such a way as to win. Run that good race. Fight the good fight. In Revelation 20. I'm going to go there. 20, verse 15. The Lord tells us the fate of those whose names are not written in the book of life. Revelation 20, 15. I think I'm going to go there because that needs to be read out loud. He that overcomes. Does this Bible have a book of Revelation? It's sure got a long back end. There we go. Revelation 20, 15. There we go. Here it is. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown, he was cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire. Oh, this is a terrible, just judgment. Terrible and just judgment. Judy shared a scripture this morning. Behold the kindness and the severity of God. How can they, these two contrasting, seemingly opposite things, the kindness and the severity of God. I do believe that's what it's going to be like at the judgment. Behold the kindness and severity of God, and neither will be wrong or more appropriate. They will both be just. Wow. Revelation 20, verse 15 establishes the importance, I believe. It says, if anyone's name was not found in the book, thus and so, lake of fire. In a sense, I see this as God's final authority, his double check at the great white throne judgment. For any person who comes forward, he or she will be judged by the books as they open the books of their works. And they will, every one of them, who is not clothed in the righteousness of Christ, every one of them will be guilty of sin. They will be judged by their deeds done in the flesh, taken from the books of their human works, if you will, and then just before the final judgment, he will say, look in the book. He will open it. Lord, their name is not here. And anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. But can you even be sure then if your name is written in the book of life? Can you be sure you are saved? I believe absolutely we can. Absolutely. Scripture tells us again and again and again that, you know, do not doubt this. Be certain your salvation is true. And there's all sorts of scriptures that prove that out, and our own spirits agree. Of course you can know and you can be sure. And I believe, and Paul even said, I am convinced that nothing, whether life nor death nor powers or things present or things to come, and he went on and on, no created thing shall separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. Absolutely nothing. But nonetheless, I wonder, and I think the $64 question is, can a name that is written in the book be removed? Now, I've got some scripture references that might challenge your thinking if you believe not. Listen to this one. And this is the very last time it is mentioned. Let's see, it's in Revelation 22:19, right at the end of the book, 22:19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now, that's what God is saying. If any man shall take away from the words of this book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Some references say tree of life. And Jesus, speaking of unpardonable sin, he says, and whoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Now, in the Old Testament, we have some references too. And I think we need to give that some credence as well. After the people sinned and made that golden calf. Now, if you're reading along with us and you're in your Berean studies, you should be there. If you're like Judy, you've already read that. You're well ahead. Scooting right along. Now, this is the way we read this. Exodus 32, verse 31 to 33. So that's the second book. After, you've got Genesis, Exodus, nearing the end of the Exodus story. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. It would seem that can happen. God said so. And in David's prayer against his enemies, Psalm 69, verse 27, 28, you know, I know I'm running you around a lot, but this was a study I needed to know. I'm wrestling with this, and we ought to wrestle with these things, and we ought to come to some conclusions, I expect, answer some of these questions that gnaw at us, and God helps us. Holy Spirit directs me through these things, and here we have David's prayer against his enemies in Psalm 69, verse 27, 28. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. Maybe this is also a reference of the book of life. And in Daniel 12:1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of my people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them shall sleep in the dust of the earth, shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Man, if that is not a reference to the judgment and the book of life and the reading and finding and not finding of those names, I don't know where you would find a better one in the Old Testament. I mean, Daniel was speaking prophetically there. And here from the last book of the Old Testament we find in Malachi 3. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. I say this, I think I have a lot of evidence. I think I have a lot of reason to believe that it could be that one's name could be blotted out of the book of life. Like I said, when Moses made this request before the Lord, take out my name, spare them, take out my name. And God said, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Leaves us, I don't know, are we any closer to a conclusion, to an answer? Like I say, the question is, can anyone's name that has been written in the book be removed? Is it indelible? Is it in forever ink? After much prayer and study, wrestling, I came to a conclusion. I don't know. And I thought, how can I say that? How can I stand in front of a congregation and say, the answer is, I don't know? I said, Lord, that's not good. I'm supposed to have answers. And he said, no, you're not. No, you're not. I don't know. That would not suffice, I would expect. But maybe we're asking the wrong question. We need to make sure it's in the book. That's all you got to do. You don't have to worry about, okay, what could I do to lose it? Well, just don't. Just don't do that. If God says, follow me, follow him. If God says, sin not, sin not. If God says, overcome, overcome. If God says, resist, and he will resist the devil, and he will flee from you, do that. Draw near to me, and I'll draw near. Do that. That makes sense. But I still thought, how can I just say, I don't know? So I prayed. This afternoon, I'm just, I can't do this. I may need another sermon here. I prayed, and the Lord said, the answer is, fear God. Obey my commandments. Rightly handle my word. Fear God. Obey my commandments. Rightly handle my word. Oh, man, that's familiar. Because I read my Bible. That sounds very familiar. That sounds profoundly wise. Like one of the wisest guys ever might have said something like that in the book of Ecclesiastes. I wrote this down, and then I went to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. I thought it was very neat. Chapter 12, Ecclesiastes. Yeah, there it is. And you know what's cool? It's written to the preacher. In some passages, you'll find that. In some Bibles, you'll say, to the preacher, it says. Or to the pastor. Verse 9, I'm going to begin there, of chapter 12. In addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, and he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. Man, I like that. I kind of felt like a preacher today as I was sorting all that out. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. That sounds like handling the word. Like with great awe and reverence. I mean, handling, not twisting it, not manipulating, like Pastor Judy said today, not making it fit your agenda, but rather making your agenda fit the word. Not saying, God, follow me, but saying, God, I follow you. The words of the wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. These are all sourced by God. Right? Divinely inspired. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. That's like, if you keep wrestling with something and you never get your satisfaction, maybe you're asking the wrong questions. Maybe you're trying to find your answers in too many places when the answer is here. And here's the answer. The conclusion, verse 13, when all has been heard is, fear God and keep his commandments. Oh, well done. Fear God and keep his commandments. Solomon had it all. He had all the riches of the world. He had everything. He could feed all appetites. He had more than enough for 1,000 lifetimes. In fact, he had 1,000 wives, didn't he? So that would be 1,000. What a bad idea that was. I thought he was wise. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Fear God, keep his commandments. And all that we read before is about rightly handling knowledge, and the best knowledge, the word, Yeah, they're endless books. They will make you weary. I actually was weary today. I still can't get this. Why is this so hard? Thank you, God, that you gave me a simple answer. Fear God. Keep His commandments. But nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, we still have this very important issue. The book of life. You got to make sure you're in the book. I do believe everyone in this room has their name in the book. I can say, like Paul, speaking of some of his fellow workers whose names are in the book, take care of them. Amen. That's good. I can safely say that. I know it to be true. I don't know if you could go so off the rails between now and the end of your life that it wouldn't be. I guess the question would be, maybe was it ever then? Because Jesus even referred to his disciples. He said, and look, all those the Father has given to me, I have kept, save one, the son of perdition, Judas. He had 12 followers. And to look at them, all 12. Well, they're with Jesus. Come on. They walked with him. They talked. They learned from him. They ate dinners with him. And yet, Judas. We need to be so careful. Make sure your name's in there. But that's a starting place. That's not the ending place. Now, since I've been doing this study over the last 2 weeks, my prayer every day has been, and I am saying, Lord, I need my mom in that book. Now, I believe she's in that book, Lord. I need for sure she is in that book. And my brother, Terry. I need for sure he's in that book, Lord. And his daughter, Haley. Lord, you know Haley. Oh, and of course, Jay and Joey. And I'm mentioning names, and that's good. I'm saying those names need to be in the book, Lord. And my sister Karen, you know, she needs to be in the book, Lord. And I've been praying that way. And I go through all my family, and I'm naming names, and I think that's good. And then I go through Judy's family. I name names, and I think that's good. And actually, I get to the grandkids, and I can't remember them all. So those ones too, Lord. You know them, those little Rastafarians. You know those ones. They're something. God knows them. And it has actually changed my prayer a lot, thinking about this book. That's a good idea. Maybe our prayer life needs a shaking up. So, I give you that. Fear God. Keep His commandments. Keep the idea of that Lamb's Book of Life, because I'm telling you what, there will be a great white throne judgment, and the books shall be opened, and the next one will come forward, and they'll already know his name. It won't be, and the other ones. Welcome. Welcome into your eternal paradise. We've been waiting for you. A place prepared for you since the beginning. But for others, they shall be cast into the lake of fire. You ought to pray about that, hey? I know you've got family you need to pray for tonight. I would just invite us to do that a while. Pastor G's going to play. We're going to just, whether you feel comfortable where you are. I know back when I was a young and fervent prayer warrior, when it came to Sunday evenings, I like to come to the altar. I encourage you to do that. Spend some time. Name some names. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Holy God, I know we are in a room full of believers. I know it. And I ask you, God, that not one of us would be lost. Perhaps there's one here tonight who has considered you, who has been following you, but maybe has not yet come to acknowledge you as Lord of their life, invite you in, plead forgiveness, and receive you as Lord. There was one here tonight. I pray, God, that they will speak that prayer this evening. And if they have said it before, maybe they need to say it again. But tonight, they need to say it with a view of heaven considering the horrible fate awaiting those who have not made their reservation, whose names are not in the book. I encourage tonight that if there be one or two or whoever, however many, that they would invite you to be Lord of their life. Oh, that they would run to the altar and plead the blood of Jesus. Receive you as Lord and take you with them from here on in. Oh, that's an excellent answer. Because where would we be without you, Lord? I do not want to even imagine. But I do know where we would end up without you, God, and I would not have it. I would not wish that on my worst enemy. So I would certainly not want it for anyone here. God, I pray that you would put upon our hearts to pray for loved ones, pray for neighbors, pray for friends, pray for co-workers. Pray even for our enemies, praying for those who spitefully use us. That we would name names and ask that you would just get a hold of them, Holy Spirit. You would draw them to yourself. So we're going to do that. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.